Welcome back. This is an advanced Ableton Live lesson, and we're going straight into one of the biggest reasons old school jungle and drum and bass basslines feel so alive. They move like an instrument, not just an LFO wobble, I mean hands-on, performable motion. Filter sweeps that breathe with the phrase, distortion that morphs on the drop, subtle phase drift, little pitch dips at the ends of lines. The whole thing feels played, then resampled, then arranged. Today you're building a bass modulation macro rack from scratch that gives you that vibe on demand, and we're doing it in a way you can reuse. Clean routing, parallel chains, intentional macro mapping, and a fast workflow for committing variations to Audino. Here's the target, a solid sub-anchor that never falls apart, a mid-layer that provides the movement and character, and an air or dirt layer that helps it speak on small speakers. Then 8 macros that actually make sense for DNB arrangement. Open it, bite it, swirl it, dirty it, tighten the sub, add growl, play with width, and keep your output safe. Alright, open Ableton. Create a new MIDI track and name it Bass Main. Drop Operator on it. We'll keep the synth foundation simple and let the rack do the heavy lifting. In Operator, choose a straightforward algorithm where oscillators can layer cleanly. Set Oscillator A to a sine. That's your fundamental. Set Oscillator B to a saw, but pull its level down for now so it's just adding some harmonic content without taking over. Don't transpose anything yet. Keep it stable. The goal at this stage is not the sound. The goal is a controllable source that takes process in well. Right after operator, at EQ8, put a high pass around 25 to 30 Hz, fairly steep, like 24 dB per octave. That's just removing subrumble and DC-ish junk that steals headroom. Then add utility after that, just as a reminder that we care about mono discipline. We'll do the real mono handling inside the rack, but you're setting the mindset early. The sub is sacred. Now group operator into an instrument rack. Select operator and hit control or seed MDG. Open the chain list. We're going to create 3 chains. One named SUB, one named MID, and one named AIR Dirt. If you want a simpler rack, you can skip the third chain. But honestly, that air dirt chain is one of the easiest ways to get old speakers readability without ruining your low end. Let's build the SUB chain first. In the SUB chain, at EQ8, low pass at around 90 to 120 Hz, steep slope. Choose the cutoff based on the key and how high your bass notes go, but keep it in that zone. You're basically saying, the sub chain is only responsible for the low fundamentals and a bit of low body, nothing else. After the EQ, add utility, set width to 0%, full mono. This is non-negotiable if you want club translation, and pull the gain down slightly, like -1 to -3 dB. Just to leave headroom for the mid and dirt chains you're about to add. Now the MID chain, where the movement lives. First device, EQ8, high pass around 90 to 120 Hz, steep. This is your crossover. The point is, whatever you do to the MID chain should not smear the sub. If your sub and mid overlap too much, every filter sweep and distortion change will feel like your entire low end is collapsing. We don't want that. Next, add auto filter. Set it to bandpass, and choose a 12 or 24 dB slope depending on how focused you want it. Start with a frequency somewhere around 250 to 500 Hz. Set resonance in the 0.7 to 1.2 range. Keep it under control for now, and add a bit of drive, like 2 to 6 dB, just to give it some attitude. That bandpass sweep is one of the classic old-school Reese moves. It's not the only move, but it's a big part of that moving mid-sound without becoming modern wobble bass territory. After the filter, add phaser flanger. Put it in phaser mode. Set the rate slow, 0.05 to 0.2 Hz. Slow is the keyword for old school. Feedback around 10 to 25%. Amount around 20 to 40%. You want motion, not obvious whooshing. After that, add saturator. Choose analog clip. Drive somewhere like 4 to 10 dB. Turn soft clip on. This is where you start getting that dense, resampled kind of body. Now add one more utility at the end of the MID chain. This is going to be for width control later. Don't widen yet, just park it there. Now the AIR dirt chain. First add EQ8, high pass around 500 to 800 Hz. So this chain has zero responsibility for low end. Add overdrive or pedal. If you use overdrive, set the frequency somewhere around 800 to 2K, and drive it maybe 20 to 60%. Tone to taste. Keep it tucked, because this chain is about presence and character, not loudness. Optionally add redux after that if you want that jungle grit. Use it subtly. Downsample maybe 2 to 8, and keep bit reduction minimal. If you go too hard, it turns into Game Boy, which can be cool, but it's a different record. Now balance the chains. Sub loudest, mid medium, air dirt low but audible. If you mute the air dirt chain and suddenly the bass disappears on laptop speakers, you know it's doing its job. If you unmute it and suddenly it's harsh and fizzy, it's too loud or too aggressive. Tuck it back. Now the fun part, macro design. And here's the rule that separates a usable performance rack from a cool idea rack. Your macros should feel like scenes, like gestures. Not this knob moves one parameter. More like this knob opens the bass and makes it snarl at the same time. Click macro controls and go into map mode. Macro 1 is your main sweep. Map it to the auto filter frequency on the MID chain. Set the range from about 200 Hz to 2.5K. That's your iconic open up control for intros and transitions. And set the range musically. If the low end gets hollow when you sweep down, raise the minimum. If the top gets harsh when you sweep up, lower the maximum. The point is, the macro stays in a sweet spot for most of the knob travel. Macro 2 is Rizzo Byte. Map it to auto filter resonance. Range something like 0.6 to 1.4. This is how you add edge without necessarily making the whole bass louder. But be careful. Too much resonance can whistle and create new tonal peaks that fight your key. Macro 3 is Reese Motion. Map it to the phaser amount and the phaser rate. Suggested, amount from 15 to 55%. Rate from 0.04 to 0.18 Hz. This is a classic old-school trick. Slow motion feels like analog drift. Faster motion is great for fills, not for the entire drop unless you really mean it. Macro 4 is Dirt Morph. Map it to two places, saturator drive in the MID chain, and overdrive drive in the AIR dirt chain. On the MID saturator, maybe 3 to 12 dB. On the overdrive, maybe 15 to 55%. This macro is your drop switch. It changes energy without changing notes. And here's a pro detail, distortion reacts to input level. If drive goes up and the chain level also goes up, you'll think it's better because it's louder, not because it's better. So consider putting a utility before your saturation stage and mapping a tiny counter gain so it stays consistent as you drive it. That one move keeps your rack feeling professional. Macro 5 is Sub-Tight. Map the SUB EQ low-pass cutoff, like 80 to 140 Hz, and also map the SUB utility gain, something like minus 3 dB to plus 1 dB. This lets you tighten the sub, if it's fighting the kick, or loosen it if the bass feels too thin. It's also how you adapt the rack to different keys quickly. Macro 6 is Growlformant. You have two good options. Option 1. Map the auto filter drive on the MID chain from 0 to 10 dB. Option 2. Map the MID filter frequency, but with a much narrower range, like 350 to 900 Hz, so it feels like a talky vowel shift rather than a full sweep. This is your fill knob. When you spike this briefly, the bass starts speaking. Macro 7 is Width Phase Danger. Map the MID utility width from 60 to 140%. Notice we are not widening the sub. Only the mid. And even here, keep an ear on phase. If you widen too much in that low mid zone, like 100 to 250 Hz, you can lose power in mono. Use this macro like a momentary open the curtains move, then snap it back. Macro 8 is Output Trim and Clip Safety. Put a limiter at the end of the rack, or at least put a utility for output gain. Map the output trim from minus 6 dB to 0. This is your safety knob because once you start performing dirt, levels creep. This macro keeps your A and B versions comparable. Now, a couple of coach notes that matter more than they sound. First, macro scaling. Make the last 20% dangerous by choice. In other words, set your ranges so from 0 to 80%, it's sweet spot territory, and only from 80 to 100 does it get extreme. That's how hardware feels, and it makes your automation way easier. You can draw smooth lines and not accidentally hit screaming resonance halfway up the knob. Second, add guardrails for translation. Put a utility after the entire rack and leave it at width 100%, neutral. Don't map anything to it. That becomes your quick reset if things get weird. Add a spectrum at the end too, and check you're not accidentally creating a new dominant fundamental below your key when you crank resonance or drive. That's one of the sneaky ways bass stops feeling in tune on a big system. Now let's talk modulation sources. You've got two main approaches in live: clip automation, which is super controlled for arrangement, and max for live LFO, which is great for drift and life. For old-school DNB that you plan to resample and chop, I strongly recommend clip automation as the backbone. Automate macro 1 slowly over 8 or 16 bars in the intro. Then in the drop, use shorter, more intentional movements, 1 to 2 bars, or call and response, like bars 1 and 2 darker, bars 3 and 4 brighter with a touch more dirt. That creates structure without changing the notes. If you do have Max for Live and want that Alive motion, add an LFO device and map it to Macro 1 or Macro 3, but keep depth tiny, like 5-15%. Decide if you want it repeatable or organic. If you want repeatable, use sync and retrig so every render starts the same. That's perfect for the sampled, consistent vibe. If you want organic drift, use HC mode and don't retrig, but understand it will change every time you bounce, which can be annoying when you're arranging. Now make it hit like DNB. Add a compressor after the rack for sidechain. Sidechain input from your kick. Ratio around 4 to 1. Attack 2 to 10 milliseconds so the click can still cut. Release around 60 to 140 milliseconds depending on tempo and groove. Set threshold, so you're getting roughly 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction on kick hits. You want the bass to breathe with the drums, not vanish. If your mid distortion is jumping around too much, you can add multi-band dynamics very lightly and just tame peaks in the mid-band by 1 to 3 dB. Don't squash it. Old school bass needs some unpredictability. You're just controlling the spikes. Now the advanced workflow that makes this whole thing feel like a 90s and early 2000s process. Commit variations fast. Here's how. Duplicate your bass track a couple times. One version cleaner. One version dirtier or wider. One version for fills with crazy automation. Keep the MIDI the same. Change macros and automation per section. When the fill is working, freeze and flatten it to audio. Then edit like it's sampled. Reverse a tail. Chop a growl. Repitch a hit. This is where the performed then edited energy comes from. Even better, set up a dedicated audio track called Bass Print. Set its input to Bass Main Post Effects. Arm it and record yourself performing macros for 16 or 32 bars. Then slice or chop out 3 to 5 hero moments and use them as call and response. That workflow is ridiculously fast for getting authentic variation. Let's also cover common mistakes so you don't waste time. If you let chorus, phaser, or distortion touch the sub, you'll get mush. Keep sub clean and mono. If your bandpass resonance is too high, it will whistle and clash with the key. This audio version is shortened for playback.